This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour
on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Welcome, my name's Rochelle Hunt. Have we progressed as much as we think we have when it comes to the body positive movement? It feels like we're certainly seeing more bodies, real bodies, different bodies, on TV, online and in commercials. Celeste Barber, if you follow her online, you know she's had a huge impact on celebrating real bodies, and in particular on social media, where, let's face it, nothing is real. Just look at the Khloe Kardashian saga that just recently happened, where an unfiltered image of her ended up on the internet and was taken down very quickly. Because God forbid if people really saw what she really looked like, and that would still be incredible. So beyond social media, the odd underwear commercial, is the body positive movement actually real in your life, in your everyday life? As a man or a woman, are you judged by your body weight? Are stigmas, are sly little comments still there regarding your weight? Just last week, announcing her own plus size, which is an issue that I, a term that I have issues with, I have to say. We'll get to that later on. Anyhow, her own plus size fashion range was launched by writer and actor Lena Dunham. And she says that it was her aim to stop the perception of plus size women being stupid. Now, that term and that word association actually shocked me. But she goes on to say that the amount of people that have written to her telling her that she's promoting obesity, that you don't understand, that you're killing yourself, and that you're stupid. Lena Dunham also went on to say that she deliberately did not include tracksuit pants or tracksuit items of any kind in her fashion range, despite the pandemic, because she says if a thin girl wears sweatpants, then it's kind of cute, you know, like, oh, I'm having a rough day. But in her words, for a chubby girl, the image is that you've made a lifestyle choice to give up. It's interesting, isn't it, when you think about that? So it did get us thinking, and today we want to hear from men and women. I know that Lena's range is a women's range, but this is not just an issue for women. This is an issue for both genders. We want to hear from men and women today. In your life, in your everyday life, do you believe that the body positive movement is real, or is it just marketing spin? Does body shaming still exist?
This is The Conversation Hour
on ABC Radio Melbourne, Victoria.
Is the body positive movement real in your everyday life, or is it just marketing spin? This text, hi Rochelle, I believe I'm overweight, but I do a lot of Feldenkrais to keep my body image positive. I'm a woman, but there are many like me who do it. Thank you for that text, and I've forgotten about that technique. I actually studied that at university, believe it or not. And if I'm right, it's in remembering that it's actually using imagery first as a way to help you move and increase movement. So thanks for your text. Chelsea Bonner is the author of Body Image Warrior. She's also the founder and director of Bella Management. Chelsea, is this just a marketing term, or are these positive changes happening in real people's lives?
I think it's both. Good morning, firstly.
Morning.
Good morning. It definitely is both. So for a long time, it was, truly something that we were trying to activate change about. And it was terminology that we used to assist us with that. But, you know, as with everything, I think that once something becomes more popular, then of course marketers and PR agents and brands try to figure out a way that they can use it in order to sell product. And we see that across the board in absolutely, you know, sort of every area of the fashion business particularly.
Is that a bad thing, though? I mean, if these are the images that we're seeing and seeing on high rotation, at the end of the day, everyone's trying to sell us something at some point anyhow. As long as those images are real, is that still, I guess, a positive step?
Yeah, look, I believe that it is. I know that a lot of people get really angry about the movement being hijacked by marketing, but I feel like that wasn't that always the point in the end, was that we're included, that we are, you know, we are used across all of the marketing campaigns, that we are included in the conversation. We are acknowledged as people who want to wear beautiful fashion. Mm. And so that this is actually the way forward.
That was something that Lena Dunham actually said in her press release, looking at the fashion range. She said, we love fashion. You know, what makes you think that somebody, once you hit the size 16, that, oh, well, you're not into fashion anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been, I mean, that's been my point for 20 years now, is that, you know, we, just because you hit a certain size doesn't mean your love of fashion or the way that you want to express who you are through fashion, which is, you know, which is basically the ultimate goal of fashion and why there's so many different brands out there, is because the way you dress is the way you want to express your personality to the world when you walk down the street or you walk into a restaurant or wherever you're going. It really announces who you are, what you're wearing, and how you wear it, and that's why fashion's so intertwined into our personal psyche.
The other thing that I feel like has changed is that there is some acknowledgement too that this is not just for women, that this body shaming and the body positive movement industry, as a result of that, is for men as well. And I feel like men are forgotten about in this conversation a lot. There's a text here that says, I'm a 50-year-old male with a gut body shaming. It still occurs. It occurs from my best mates of 30-plus years. The sad part is he has no idea he's doing it or the impact that it has on me. And it can quite often come from your mates and from family, little just sly comments or backhanded comments or things that are said, like, should you be wearing that? I think was something that was said to me quite a lot growing up, and it's a term that just makes every hair on my body stand on end.
Yeah, just those little slights, and I really understand from a male's perspective, because I was married to, my ex-husband was a big guy, and the way, you know, they used to, his football team, you know, for instance, they'd rub his belly for luck before they ran out on the field and things like that, which he had to, you know, as a man, he had to pretend that didn't upset him and sort of laugh it off. But behind closed doors, you know, when we got home at night, that would just devastate him. You know, he would be so so upset about those little comments, and you know, he would always wear a t-shirt to the beach. He'd never take his top off at the beach and things like that. So men are very forgotten in this conversation, and it's something that we've been working really, really hard to change.
We're actually going to speak to, I know, one of the men that are on your books, but his story as to why he models and the image that he wants to project, and also some of the things that he still carries with him from childhood and from those adolescent years. And we'll speak to Gary a little later. Chelsea Bonner is with you. She's the author of Body Image Warrior, the founder and director of Bella Management. We're talking about the idea of the body positive movement and whether or not it's real. We're seeing lots of images around of changes occurring, but is it occurring in your everyday life? I want to try and read some of these texts. This one says, yes, for sure, body shaming still exists. I'm a 37-year-old mum of five, and I've been through many changes in the last decade, yet I'm still expected to, in inverted commas, bounce back to my pre-mum shape. Impossible. I've transformed. I've not been damaged. That's from Nicole. Gosh, I mean, that's a whole other conversation, isn't it? That expectation of your body to bounce back, you know?
Yeah, it just doesn't. But I love that she's owned, and I love that. I love seeing that. And I think you might know one of my top models, Robin Lawley, after she had her child, Ripley, and she got on social media and she said, you know, I've earned these stripes, talking about her stretch marks on her tummy after she had a baby. She's like, I just brought a human being into the world.
Yes.
You know, I've earned every one of these.
Absolutely.
And Yeah, so I think that it's about kind of flipping it in your head. If someone if someone's having a go at you, or you feel like somebody is having a go at you about not bouncing back fast enough, just turn it around and say, I just grew a human being.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah. This one that says, yes, 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 body positive has not been a reality for me ever, in capitals. I've reached an age where I'm more inclined towards comfort. I'm 50, but I still feel the pressure. My peers are still all aspiring to be thin as an indicator, as they believe that thin is an indicator of health. That's from Carol. We're going to go into that a little bit later on as well, that being thin doesn't necessarily mean that you're healthy, and being bigger doesn't necessarily mean that you're not healthy. And these are things that we're just starting to learn more. But Chelsea, let's go to Colleen. She's in West Footscray. Hi, Colleen.
Oh, hello. Look, I'm a fat middle-aged, well, no, I'm in my 60s, so I'm more than middle-aged now. But the two things, how much fashion has changed, because I've been fat all of my life, and whereas now I can actually get things that look reasonably good. But the other issue is about, it's presumed I'm unhealthy, but my thin, you know, two packs a day, you know, two bottles of wine a day, friends who never exercise and only eat junk food, because they're thin, they're considered to be healthy. But I'm much fitter. My diet is much better than they are. Theirs is. And I do a lot of exercise. I do a massive amount of walking. And people just presume, because I'm fat, that somehow I'm unhealthy.
Colleen, can I ask you a question? Why do you use the word fat?
I don't have a problem with the word. And I just think, well, that's what I am. And I'm also a pretty bold person, so if someone makes derogatory remarks about my size, they're not going to get away with it, whereas I think a lot of women shy away from that, and I'm bold enough to say, well, no, this is who I am, and you're just going to have to cop it.
It's interesting. Just in a moment, we're going to speak to one of the founders of a body positive Australia, actually, and there's fat yoga, and that's what it's called. And it was all about reclaiming the word fat. And I can't even say, even saying it, Chelsea, I feel like my body just kind of reacts to it. It feels like
it's
has a negative connotation to it. Colleen, thank you. Can the word be positive?
I absolutely think it can be. I mean, it really, whatever word you use to help you totally claim and radically accept who you are, use it. You know, I just say use it. If that term feels right to you and you want to use it, I believe that we have fat, but when we are not fat. That's sort of, they're two different things in my head, but I completely understand why people have chosen to claim that word in a really positive way and say, well, if you're going to call me that, well, I'm taking complete ownership of that, and so therefore you can't use it as an insult anymore to me, because, you know, I'm well aware of who I am, and so that's not actually insulting. So good luck with that. And so I kind of get that. But for me personally, they're two different things. There's, I have fat on my body, but I don't consider myself a fat, if that makes sense. So yeah, there's two schools of thought on that, but I don't think either is right or wrong. It's just about, you know, claiming, you know, completely claiming who you are in the world. And that's, however that's achieved, I'm all for it.
Kiralee's in Pasco Vale. Hi, Kiralee.
Hi.
What did you want to say?
I just wanted to share an experience with a doctor that I'd had a routine colonoscopy because of a family history of bowel cancer. And as part of the follow-up after the procedure, he offered me prescription drugs to lose weight. And I'm in the obese range. I'm not morbidly obese. I'm a size 18. I exercise, like that lady said before. You know, people assume you're unhealthy because of your weight, but you know, I am healthy, but yeah, he still offered me prescription drugs without prompting.
Yeah. It's so common. I'm so sorry.
What did you say to him, Kiralee? How did the conversation go after that?
I was quite shocked, and I think I said that that wasn't something that I wanted to pursue. And yeah, we sort of left it at that. But like, I'm assuming that's sort of something amphetamine based. That's not something I want to do.
And how confusing is it when it comes from a doctor, someone that we go to for health reasons and that we trust? I mean, is there not a part of you that thinks, okay, well, do I need to listen to him or her?
I mean, it's confronting, and you assume that, you know, they're knowledgeable. But I've also had a GP in the past that said BMI isn't everything. You know, they're skinny people who eat Maccas every day for lunch. Mm-hmm. So I have had both spectrums of the experience with doctors, and I think I feel like I was strong enough to ignore it. But I think, yeah, other people would just think, oh, they're a doctor, they know what they're talking about.
And that really makes me terrified, these types of conversations. Medical bias in healthcare to do with anybody who is carrying any, you know, sort of weight that's slightly higher than what they think is should be a normal weight is really terrible. And I had a similar experience myself a couple of years ago where I was went into my doctor and said, why is my stomach so lumpy? What's going on with these lumps in my stomach? And it turns out that I had a stomach full of tumours. But the first thing he did was offer me weight loss tablets, which were amphetamine based. And he said, oh, it's just a bit of fat. Here's a script. Off you go.
It's really about having that relationship, isn't it? Not only with yourself and your own body, but the importance too of, and for everybody, of having a good relationship with your GP, which is easier said than done now, because we're all individuals, and how healthy we are and at certain times of our life and what we're going through, it's so individual.
You really have to advocate for yourself as well. I mean, my GP I'd known for a very long time, but he has his own weight bias in his head. And, you know, he's one of those doctors, one of many, many doctors who you go to for any reason. You go in with a cough and they say, well, if you lost some weight, you probably wouldn't have a cough. I mean, I'm laughing, but it's actually crazy. And if you spend any time on the forums, like Curvy AU and some of the forums that I'm on, it's something that's talked about regularly, you know, the medical bias around weight. And almost every single issue that you go to the doctor with, if you are slightly overweight, they put it down to that. It must be that. And, so it's something that we really need to address.
Kiralee, thank you so much for sharing your story. A couple of texts I want to get through. This one, hello, body shaming is often disguised as humour, particularly for short men. I've endured this my whole life, getting very depressed because of it. I see it every day at work, socially. People are less comfortable calling somebody fat than short. That's from Chris in Bendigo. Mm-hmm. And this, Rich and Chelsea, I'm a 40-year-old male, was seeing a male therapist who was also a big, strong guy. After one session, as I left, he noted, there's not much to you that there is that's quite thin. I'm actually exactly average on the BMI scale. Works both ways. I can't imagine anyone openly saying, gee, you're fat, when aren't you? Guys are expected to be big and tough. That's from Paul. So a lot of it just comes down to, you know, so many different social biases and how we all have opinions of each other. I mean, I'm hoping that this is what's changed. A lot of guys are sending in messages too. We spoke about the word fat, Chelsea, and how we feel about that and whether or not there's some ownership of it. Fiona Sutherland joins you now. She is the director of the Body Positive Australia. That was alongside Sarah Harry. She's also the director of the Mindful Dietitian. And she started this with Sarah some years ago, over a decade ago, and a part of that was fat yoga. And Sarah said that it was about reclaiming the word fat from any negative connotations and to ensure that people in her classes felt safe and inclusive, that they had a space to practice. She had extensive experience. She was a clinician, a researcher, an author, and a yoga teacher. And the reason why I'm telling you so much about Sarah, Fiona's co-director is because it is with a heavy heart that we tell you, if you've been to one of her classes or you've read any of her research or blogs, is that just a few weeks ago, Sarah actually passed away. So we wanted to recognise the work that she has done and the changes that she has made. Fiona, huge condolences to you, to your family and to everybody at Body Positive Australia. We're so sorry to hear the news.
Thank you so much, Rochelle, and thanks so much for having this conversation. You know, a lot of what Sarah would have most wanted is for us to continue on with these kind of conversations that can really make a difference to people.
It really does. I was reading that at the end of her sessions, she would say, "May you be safe, may you be happy, may you live your life with ease." That says a lot about her, doesn't it?
It sure does. Look, that's quite a common end of yoga class phrase, which comes from ancient yoga traditions, but it was something that Sarah made as a real, something that she did at the end of every single class, and that she lived that really. It wasn't just words from an ancient yoga script. It was something that she really lived and gave to the world.
The reclaiming of the word fat and fat yoga, how do you feel about that? How did she feel about that? How did people that would come along and do the classes feel about that term?
So I am a smaller bodied person myself, and I think that's the first thing I want to recognise, is that it's not for people who are not in larger bodies to say what people should or shouldn't be naming themselves. And so for larger bodied folk, reclaiming the word fat is really about reimagining a life in a larger body, one that can be of liberation, one that can be of freedom, one that can be shared and moved and lived in the world from a place of real freedom and of self-respect and demanding respect from others too. So a lot of people in large bodies have grown up feeling disrespected and may have been bullied or teased or have felt less than. And I think the reclaiming of the word fat really goes a long way for people that choose to, and nobody needs to choose that, reclaiming something that was taken from them.
I'll ask you this first, Fiona, and then Chelsea, I might get you to respond to it as well, because there's a few texts that have come in along these lines. And when we're talking about body shaming, I guess the old term was fat shaming, if we're using that word openly, that has it changed and where does it come from? And there's been a few people that have said that they actually put it on themselves. The body shaming comes internally. This text says, "I'm 53, I'm overweight and I'm disgusted by my body. I can't believe I've gotten to this state and I see no way out. Being body positive won't change that I'm now considered unattractive in today's society. It impacts negatively on every aspect of my life." Fiona, we can throw the word around body positive movement and yes, let's go do a fat yoga class and, you know, we've got beautiful clothes now. But if you don't love yourself, how do we change that narrative?
So that text that came in was a really, really great example of what's called internalised fat phobia or internalised weight stigma. Now, we don't feel the way we do about our bodies in a vacuum. We grow up in a world that sees bodies in a certain way, and the bodies are ascribed value according to their size and shape, and also ability, age, you know, all different kinds of often appearance-based factors as well. And so when we grow up and have, you know, we're receiving very, very strong messages about our body, we then internalize those. We learn them from the culture. We're not born disliking or hating our bodies. We learn it from our culture. So what this, you know, what the texter was really writing is very typical of what's called internalised fat phobia. And it takes a lot of work. And if it's not up to the individual to be doing that, it requires a whole culture shift.
Chelsea, would you agree with that?
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I mean, the beginning for me, you know, and part of why I wrote the book was to try and show people how through my journey I just came to a point of total neutrality first before I was able to really appreciate my body for what it can do and not what it looks like. And actually yoga was a huge part of that for me, learning to reconnect So I almost had to disconnect and pull out all of that old programming and wiring of society and generations of it and reset completely and start again with things like yoga and Pilates and things like that, which showed me how incredible human bodies really are, and that my shape or my size or my fat has nothing to do with the way I can choose to live my life.
It's interesting, and I think that starting a space where people of all body shapes feel comfortable. I remember years ago a girlfriend of mine saying, I feel uncomfortable going to yoga because I don't know what I'm doing and I feel like it's been hijacked by skinny white women. Then that whole thing of feeling comfortable in a space. So, yes, it's really good to have, say, fat yoga, but at the same time, does it not annoy us that people don't feel comfortable in any, well, I'm using yoga as an example here, but it could be any gymnasium. Shouldn't we just feel comfortable together anywhere, anytime?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I didn't when I first started. When I first started, I thought everybody was looking at me and everybody must be judging me and everybody must be laughing at me. But the more I went, and it wasn't very long, it was only a couple of weeks before I realised everybody's worried about their own things. Everybody's running their own movie in their own head. Nobody's looking at me. And if they are looking at me, they're only thinking, good on her. You know, she's giving it a go. And once I realised that, it just everything shifted. And I was able just to go to the gym and really, really enjoy my time there or you know, go to the swimming pool or whatever it is. And so I've shifted the narrative in my own brain. So I really honestly don't even think about what my body looks like anymore. I just go do everything I want to do. And that's, you know, the most ultimate freedom.
Fiona Sutherland is also with you, Director of the Mindful Dietitian and co-founder of the Body Positive Australia, alongside Sarah Harry. Fiona, we spoke about this earlier, that your weight doesn't necessarily determine whether you're healthy or not. A text has come in saying, I've just tuned in, this conversation is denying that fat is unhealthy. That's from Roger. I don't know if this is a big area of your expertise, but if you are what's considered overweight by some, is that unhealthy? Can you be a bigger person and be healthy? Is there a tipping point where there are concerns about heart and diabetes and whatnot?
Of course.
No, that's okay. No problem. Although there are some correlations between weight and health, particularly at either ends of the spectrum, correlation is not causation. So it's not necessarily the case that your weight causes, for example, diabetes or a heart condition, for example. And I think this kind of rhetoric and this narrative really distracts us from the wider issues that really are more important for people, like how we can really more deeply understand, you know, for example, your previous conversation around bias in medical settings and in healthcare settings. I mean, that is very urgent. We really need to address this with medical students, with healthcare students, and with professionals as well, so that people in all shapes and sizes can go to their dietitian, to a nurse, to a doctor, to a specialist, and really get the care they need without a side serve of fat phobia at the same time, without that sense of, you know, I've got a sore throat, well, did you try to lose weight? So I think, you know, this kind of narrative around, well, if you're fat, you're unhealthy, is very, very distracting, and we need to really refocus on how we can shift cultural attitudes to people, especially people in larger bodies, but also people in larger bodies who, for example, come from the LGBTQI plus community, people with disabilities, people from Indigenous backgrounds, so that we can be much more inclusive.
I'm really happy that lots of blokes are a part of today's conversation. We're going to speak to one of Chelsea's men on her books in just a moment, who's got a great story. But this is a text from a mum saying, thank you for this discussion. Great discussion. My 34-year-old son went to a different GP during lockdown to renew his prescription for anxiety medication. He works out regularly and he is, in inverted commas, a big fellow. This GP continued to tell him that he was obese and wouldn't renew his script. The psychological damage was enormous. This text as well, when things get hot, they expand. I'm not fat. I'm hot, says Jane.
I love that. That's good. Go, Jane.
Go, Jane. And this is another one that says, the best story that I've heard is when one of the Lint massacre survivors was being operated on. She said to her surgeon, removing the shrapnel from her body, couldn't you have removed some of the fat as well? And his reply was, that fat saved your life. Mm. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. Chelsea Bonner is with you, the author of Body Image Warrior. She's the founder and director of Bella Management. And Fiona Sutherland is with you as well. A text has come in for you, Fiona, saying, awesome to hear Fiona. She's an amazing advocate, passionate teacher, genuinely compassionate and a mindful listener. If you want to know how to be non-judgmental and an open human being in this world, then that is Fiona Inside Out. So a lot of love coming for you. Just finally, Fiona, do you think that the body positive movement is real in everyday lives? Are we starting to see the impacts of the changes that maybe we're seeing in commercials, on television, even online?
Yeah, look, I think we are starting to make some shifts. And for, you know, people like Chelsea, for example, hearing more people's lived experiences and being able to speak more openly about the various impacts of weight stigma is certainly only going to take us further into weight inclusivity. I think as a dietitian and also as a dietetic educator, I've seen quite a bit of shifts within my profession as well. A lot of dietitians now are really becoming very passionate about what's called non-diet approaches and health at every size, and this is, you know, becoming much more commonplace in healthcare. And I think if we can continue on with healthcare, then it really, as well as in the media, it really means that more people are able to get the care that they need and deserve, and are able to take care of themselves and feel truly respected in the world.
Fiona, while we have you, I might just quickly have a chat with Sam Sweden. She's the writer and author of the book Eating With My Mouth Open. And I think she's actually done some of Sarah's classes, Sarah Harry. Sam, again, our condolences to you, because we know that you've worked with Sarah and you've done our classes, and a lot of people were really devastated by the death of Sarah Harry. What made you go and do some of the Sarah's fat yoga classes?
Thanks so much for that. I think Sarah's been a massive loss, and she was just such a figurehead in Australia for body positivity and for a different way of thinking about movement in your body, and just such a wonderful resource to have. I think I went along to her classes. I did one of her classes in person, and I also did her body piece course, which was sort of an online course where she took us through ideas around health and body size and ways that you can relate to your own body with a sense of, compassion and gentleness, which is something that's hugely underrepresented in how fat people are taught to relate to their bodies. So I think I really learnt so much from her.
Is it changing in your everyday life, Sam? You know, when I just think about my childhood, and not to me personally, but people that I was close to, and I would just hear snide remarks, and, you know, people would make judgments, or there'd be backhanded compliments. And I wonder how much of it is generational. I wonder how much of it is really changing. Have you noticed significant shifts in your everyday life that, you know, that the body positive movement is real?
Yes and no. I think that, so part of my book is about the ways that we learn our attitudes to our bodies and our diets from our parents. So my mum has been dieting for as long as I can remember, and she's definitely part of that generation of women who are scared to say the word fat. They whisper it, you know, oh, she's a bit bigger, you know. And that's such a powerful thing to inherit. So I think learning to speak my own body experience has been something that I'm able to do that my mum and people in her generation weren't able to do. But I also feel like there's a ways
to go. So we're talking about, you know, body positivity, and that's great, but that's an individual relationship with your body. And the things that I think a lot of people, and it's coming through in the text that you're reading, a lot of people come up against is, I can have that individual relationship, but then I come up against the structural stuff that stops me, which is, I mean, for me, I've had a psychiatrist say to me before that I caused my own depression because I'm fat, and refused to treat me for an eating disorder because I'm fat, that stops me from having a positive individual relationship, because nothing, you know, in the medical sector, or you know, in how I'm taught to relate to my body and to movement and to food and all of that self-talk stuff comes from outside.
It's really thoughtful. Sam, thanks for your time. And again, our condolences to you. Thank you. That's Sam Zweden. She is the writer and author of the book Eating With My Mouth Open. And Fiona Sutherland, the director of the Mindful Dietitian and also founder of Body Positive Australia, alongside with Sarah Harry. Again, we do send our condolences, Fiona. So thank you. It must be a really tough time for you guys, but the work that you have both have done has been incredible. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Rochelle, for having me. Thank you.
Texts are coming in, Chelsea. My 5-year-old grandson chipped at me for saying that his little sister had fat cheeks. He said, "Nanny, you can't say that."
Yay.
I was shocked. I was shocked to think that we've lost a perfectly simple word. I am fat. I am overweight. I'm happy to use the word. It's the tone that hurts. That's from Sharon. Now, this is an interesting one, because I had this conversation while we call her our surrogate Nana, and she has done the same thing. She quit smoking. And this text says, "I quit smoking about 8 years ago. I've gained 20 kilograms. I'm much healthier now, but I'm considered obese, and that's all anybody sees. I was better off smoking, as I was thin, and based on society's expectations, that was better." I had that exact same conversation with Nana Julie, as we call her. She was so worried about her weight, and as I kept saying to her, "But you're off the fags, you know, you're not smoking anymore." So,
one of the things that this amazing study came out, it was sort of just during COVID, so I think a lot of people missed it. But in Sweden, they studied 79,000 people in a 20-year study, absolutely huge study. I think it's the biggest in the world, and looked at the link between the body mass index and the risk of death, basically. And they found that those who followed a healthy diet, in this case they used a Mediterranean diet, were overweight, had the lowest risk of dying than those in a normal weight category who didn't have a healthy diet. So it really comes back to taking care of your health. Your size isn't important. It's your health that's important. Eating well, you know, moving well. All of those things. So exactly what so many people have texted today and said, you know, my girlfriend drinks 2 bottles of wine a day and eats chips and she's thin and considered healthy. Well, she's probably going to die 20 years before you. So don't worry about that. You just keep being healthy and doing you. And, you know, we really need to catch up with these things. And it's funny how, isn't it, the media will jump on just the slightest little bit of fat phobia and they jump on it and blow it up. But when a study like this, a really huge, big, in-depth study comes out proving that weight actually has nothing to do with health, it just gets completely ignored. In fact, I think that ABC was the only one that reported it. So, yeah.
This text says, "I stopped weighing myself about a year ago because no matter the number, I was never happy. I focus on how you feel and move. Fill your body with good food and never, ever let that number on a scale define you. We are so much more than our physical appearances." Somebody asked me for scales the other day and I just started to laugh. I thought, I couldn't think of anything worse than having a pair of scales in my house. And I think it's a reaction because my mum was obsessed with them, was on them multiple times a day, you know, and would take jewellery off before she would.
My nana had them next to the shower. So she'd get out of the shower in the morning and weigh herself. Oh. I know. But it's these generations worth of sort of programming that we're trying desperately to unpick now. And that's where I know it's, you know, it's cute to say you've got little, you know, little chubby cheeks and things like that. But unfortunately, we're not quite there yet. And kids are so impressionable. And when you use words like that, they really stick. And all of the studies show that people are, you know, way, you know, 10 or 100 times more likely to stick on negative words than they are on positive words. So for every negative word or word that yeah. is associated with a negative connotation, you have to say 100 or 1,000, you know, positive words to override yeah. that one negative, you know.
Chelsea Bonner is with the author of The Body Image Warrior, founder of director of Bella Management. We're talking about whether or not the body positive movement exists, and not just for women, but for men as well.
This is The Conversation Hour
on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
And we've been so impressed. We wanted this to be both about men and women, and plenty of men have contributed today. Gary Wilson joins you now. He's a male model. He's one of your models, Chelsea. He's
yes.
with Bella Model Management. Gary, welcome. How did the world of modelling start for you?
Well, thanks for having me to start with. But I guess I never saw myself as being a model. And neither did any of my friends or family. So for me, it was kind of by chance. After I did a short stint on TV, I got picked up by a fashion label that wanted to get that specifically aimed at bigger men. So they sort of saw me on TV, reached out, and that's how I got started in the world of sort of fashion. Fashion modelling and
it
acting.
All started from there. I was reading and I was really drawn to this where, you know, you were talking about growing up and I guess being sort of labelled as the chubby friend at school and how you deal with that and the impacts that has on you. And then even, I think you joined the army, is that right? And you got really fit and strong, but your body was still the same size, but that changed your confidence.
Oh, it absolutely did. So I think coming through school, I very much was the chubby or the fat friend guy, I guess, is probably the label I would have given myself. But then, so then I found my confidence through sport a little. And I never was, I was good at sport, but I was never a world beater at that point. And then, like you said, I joined the army. And I trained like hell and the scales, like I said, the scales never really moved too much. But I was so much fitter and so much stronger and that's where and coming into adulthood and manhood, that's where I really, I guess, found my confidence is that, you know, I am fit, I am healthy, I am strong, but I still look the same as I did when I was the 15-year-old chubby friend guy.
There was a text earlier that came in and from a bigger man and he works in security. And as soon as I read the text, I thought, yeah, gosh, I've heard that 1,000 times. And the saying of, thanks, big fella, you know, good on you. Thanks, big mate. And that sort of real casualisation of almost fat shaming somebody. Is that still a part of your life?
Oh, every day. Every day I get the, oh, g'day, big fella, or how are you, big man, or something like that. But I don't think people mean it in a derogatory way. I really do believe that people, it's almost a term of endearment. In terms of fat shaming, that will only come mostly from sort of faceless people, I guess. So for me, from my own experience, it's sort of come from a lot of online or if people have seen me in print media or on TV, then they get particularly nasty behind a keyboard. But very rarely would somebody approach a big man such as myself or the gentleman who works in security and sort of and put it all in a derogatory slight, I don't think.
But I think it might be the difference between, you know, men and women, isn't it? Because as a woman, you know, curvy woman myself, from a very early age, I have had so many people comment to my face in person all the time, and particularly when I was younger. And they will, and especially from men, they will come straight up to you in a bar or wherever you're out with your friends and just call you a fat pig to your face or, you know, say all sorts of things I can't repeat on radio. And you know, but all pointing to the fact that you'd be good looking if you lost a few pounds, I might think about offering to take you home. Mm. You know, so I think that might be, there might be a bit of a gender difference there in the way that, men feel more free to speak about women and their bodies than perhaps a woman would even think to shame someone like that in public. You just, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, I always get so surprised by that. There's a text here, and Gary, I want to ask you about this, and it says, fat, bald men are always cast as the creepy characters in television and film. It's just ridiculous. And I had a look through some of your shots through Bella Model Management, and you're not being cast as the creepy dude. You're being, you know, cast as the sexy dude. And is that changing? You know, are you not being stereotyped? Are you not being typecast? And is that changing for you as well?
Well now, having a bit of a look around social media in particular, dad bods are a thing now. You know, like, dad bods, I think girls and women in particular are really, really drawn to somebody who's not got the six-pack abs and the, you know, I guess... I've certainly noticed that I get more positive comments towards how I look versus negative comments. Certainly, and no, I've never been typecast as somebody who's creepy or gross or anything like that in any of the work I've done through modelling or TV. So I definitely think that that's a big shift. Like, big men are now the cuddly teddy bears, and not the stereotypical creep, I suppose. Definitely in my experience.
Gary, thank you so much.
Good on you. No worries. Thanks for having me.
That's Gary Wilson. There's so many positive images, texts, I should say, that are coming through. But it's interesting, Chelsea, when you sort of spoke about, you know, is there a difference in gender here? Unfortunately, I want to read this text. I'm not going to say who it's from. You sound like a bunch of fat women placating each other with half-truths. It's actually healthy to be overweight. I'm sorry, but I've been there and it's not healthy to be overweight. I mean, that just... The irony in that text there, well, irony is probably not the right word, but, you know, have we come far enough if comments like that still come through?
Well, no, we haven't, because if we had come far enough, we wouldn't still be having to have this conversation, would we? It wouldn't even be a thing anymore. So no, you know, it's 20-something years I've been... you know, advocating for, you know, body diversity, and it continues. I'm continuing into my 20th year as we speak. So, no, it hasn't come far enough. We have come a long way, absolutely, and I want to acknowledge that, and especially all of the people who have helped us come this far. But there is a long, long way to go. And, you know, when I hear people speak like that, I actually have to remind myself, you know, it initially makes me flare with anger, and then I have to acknowledge that that person hasn't probably done enough research themselves and is also infected and poisoned with society's ideas of beauty and what's acceptable themselves, and probably doesn't even realise it. So, you know, so I sort of feel like... there's not much point in responding to people who have that kind of characterisation of me.
Troy's in Echuca and has been waiting patiently. Troy, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
What did you want to say?
I think the conversation's been fantastic so far, and really appreciate everyone speaking about it. And my biggest thing, I suppose, I just wanted to bring up with all this is it's really fantastic that I think the social scientists, as well as the public health professionals in Australia, have really allowed something like this to progress forwards in a very positive direction. And it's really good to see some of that evolution unfold and to hear some of the stories of people ringing in. But I suppose as well, I've probably got a bit of a bias because of some of my background in physiology too. I always worry a little bit about just being really mindful about, I suppose, one of the themes has been language use in here, but also just what we're sort of purporting as absolutely objectively true. I know that the sociological and the cultural components of things are really important to acknowledge, but we've got to be really mindful not to forget about our genetics and some of those backgrounds there, and it can sort of, in a sense, drive some of the complex facets in and around overweight and obesity. Yeah.
So and it's not even obesity as well, but, you know, we had people talking about going in for colonoscopies and all sorts of things, and genetics become more important as we age, and understanding our genetic history as well, and making sure that we look after ourselves. But more importantly, having that really good relationship with your doctor and your GP. Troy, thank you so much. Huge apologies to everybody that I couldn't get through on calls. Chelsea, it's always such a pleasure speaking with you and the work that you do. Thanks for introducing us to Gary. I feel like it's been a positive conversation. You know, you never know, do like you, where it's going to go?
Look, I hope just one, you know, I always say this, but it really is true. If just one person heard our conversation today and it changes how they feel about themselves and they get up and feel like a different person tomorrow, it's worth everything, isn't it?
It really is.
Thank you so much for holding the space for us.
Good on you, mate. I'll speak with you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Chelsea Bonner, author of Body Image Warrior, founder and director of Bella Management. What do you think? Did we? Have we? Is it real? When we talk about the body positive movement, is it real in your life? I feel like we've come full circle, but it's certainly been an interesting conversation.